Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays at gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
All right. God bless you. God bless you. So glad to have everyone in on tonight here at Praise Tabernacle Church, our Tuesday night Bible study. Once again, thank all of you, our Chaos Blog Talk listeners. We thank God so much for you. And we know tonight is just going to continue to take us another round higher. We want to also thank our leadership team that's in with us on tonight, Elder Taylor, Elder Bluett. I think he'll be in a little later if he's not already here. We thank God for Evangelist Stanton, as always. Our new elder, Elder Derek Oliver, he's going to take us to the mountaintop tonight. Most of you are possibly have heard him on Mondays, and about a month or so ago he did his first Bible study with Praise Tabernacle Church, and he did such an awesome job. Amen. And we're going to turn it over to him shortly. Thank God for my precious wife. I think she may be on, maybe tuning in. And like I say, we just thank God. We're here in Jesus' name. We're not here for any form or fashion, but we're here just to share the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we just want you to be encouraged on tonight through the word, through the taught word on tonight from our new elder, Elder Derek Oliver. So we want to say a quick word of prayer, and then the next voice you hear will be that of the man of God for the hour, Elder Oliver. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you again. We thank you for another day. This is the day that you've made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for another glorious time, another great opportunity to witness and to be in fellowship, even in this new way of fellowshipping that we are congregating. We thank you for it, for the word is yet fruitful, the word is yet going forth, souls are yet being saved, lives are yet being changed, bodies are yet being healed, and we glorify you, we magnify you for being God all by yourself. And as we enter into this Bible study on tonight, we ask that you would anoint the man of God on tonight. Give him what needed for these, for we, your people. And we thank you for the panel of leaderships that are on tonight to support him. And we magnify your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Elder Derek Oliver, the services is in your hands.
All right. Thank you there, Bishop. Appreciate it. Appreciate everyone that we got on the line, the panel, Bachelor Stanton, Elder Taylor, and Bishop, and whoever else is going to come on a little bit later. I just want to thank the Lord for giving me the opportunity to share the word on tonight. I'm not going to be long tonight. The Lord put something on my heart, and you know the Lord put something on your heart when I've been studying for Bible study for the last month, and then late last night I switched up, and I want to do something the Lord put on my heart, do something a little different tonight. Again, I just want to thank the Lord for giving me the opportunity to be amongst a lot of great teachers and preachers. I've learned a lot from them. And it's like, I think I heard Elder Taylor say, iron sharpen iron. And that's exactly how I feel. But tonight, the Lord is leading me to go somewhere tonight. I didn't have no idea a week ago I was going here. Last night I spoke on going back to the basics. And I'm not going to do anything no different tonight. The word will be a little bit different, but the message is going to be the same. We need to get back to the basics. I understand that at the time that we're living in, with the coronavirus and everything, and it just seems to me that the church has no power. The church has no vision. I've been talking to a lot of different ministers all over different states and different churches, different denominations, and they all have the same excuse. The reason we can't do what we need to do is because of the coronavirus. We can't go visit the sick. We can't get back into the church. And it's like we've never seen anything like this before in our life. And I just shook my head and said, okay. And the Lord said, we need to go back to the basics. Tonight, I'm not going to be long. I'm a preacher at heart. If I get happy, I'm going to apologize right now. Because I'm excited about the word and I'm excited about where we're going, because I'm just excited. And I'm just going to answer any disclaimers tonight. If I get a little wound up tonight, if you get wound up tonight, you know, we apologize. But I'm going back old school. I'm going back the way that we taught back in the day. And I'm going to show some things in the scripture tonight. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Mark, the 10th chapter, 46th verse. And when I'm going to give you a minute to get there. And it's a very familiar passage of scriptures about blind Bartimaeus.
Yes, sir.
And a lot of y'all are probably thinking I'm going to talk about how he was healed. I'm not going to talk about how he was healed. I'm going to talk about how Jesus immediately healed him. I'm not going to talk about that tonight. But we're living in a world. We're living in a world where we want a right now God. And it's the trick of the enemy, because we think that we can just ask God like he's a genie and he's supposed to give it to us. And I got some points I want to bring tonight in these few scriptures we got. I got some points I want to break down to you tonight. And if I get happy, because the Lord is taking me back old school. And tonight, as I was reading through the scriptures last night, and I wonder why the Lord put this on my heart, and he showed me some things a little bit different in the scriptures. And a lot of things that, and just in my experience over the last few weeks, like I said, the people of God want God to do everything that we ask him to do. And we want to use, if we delight yourself in him, he'll give us the desires of your heart without really reading that scripture a lot, you know. And one of the things that we're doing is the church and people in the church are running after all of God's stuff, but we're not running after God. I'm going to say that one more time. We're running after God's stuff, but we're not running after God. We want the blessings of God, but we don't want to have nothing to do with God. As long as he give me, we all right. And one of my first points I'm going to make, even before I get into the scriptures, is that, you know, God isn't interested in giving us the delight, but he wants to develop us. He don't want to give us the delights of our hearts. He wants to develop us. And there's a difference, because if he's trying to develop you, you're not going to get everything that you ask for, because he wants to develop disciples. He wants to develop leaders. He wants to develop teachers. But we want everything but God in our life right now. And the reason the church is so weak is we're so busy asking for everything we're not spending no time with him. Yeah, I know it's going to get quiet, but I know you're going to shout in a minute because I'm getting ready to go somewhere. But if you have your Bibles, I'm going to go to Mark, and I'm going to be coming out of the NIV version.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just going to read from 46 to 52. You know what? I'm going to go back there. I'm just going to start off. We're going to 46 to 52 is where we're going. But I'm just, for the sake of time, I'm going to start with verse 51, because this is my thing, verse 51. Jesus asked a question. The question Jesus asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see. I want vision." Verse 51.
Yeah.
Jesus asked a question. "What do you want me to do?" And we're living in a day and age where Jesus is asking this question today. What do you want me to do? And the blind man said, "All I want is vision." Now, I won't take my time right here, because it's like Jesus gave blind Bartimaeus a blank check, and he signed it.
Okay.
And whatever he would have asked for, I believe Jesus would have gave it to him. But blind Bartimaeus said, "All I want is vision." I got to thinking about that, Elder Taylor.
Uh-huh.
The people of God don't have no vision today. We don't have a vision.
Okay.
We don't have a plan. We don't have a purpose.
Uh-huh.
And Jesus asks us the question, "What do you want me to do for you?" So tonight, saints of God, we're going to put vision in the check. We want vision, because a lot of us don't have vision. And I'm going to show you how you get vision, or how you lose your vision, and how you got to come get your vision, because it's all right there in verse 46, 47 through 52, how you get your vision. And also in those chapters is how we get caught up and lose the vision that God has given us. Because if you had vision, you wouldn't use coronavirus as an excuse not to serve God. There's a lot of preachers saying, "I can't preach right now because there's nowhere for me to preach." Well, that tells me you really ain't been called to God to preach, because if you need a microphone and a pulpit to preach, you really ain't been called to preach, because there's other places you can preach where you don't need a microphone. So you have no vision.
Right.
But if you got a vision and you're asking God for a vision, and this is what we're going to get into, you gotta ask for vision. Bartimaeus asked for vision. Verse 41, he asked a question. Bartimaeus said, "I want vision." And the reason he asked for vision is because he was a beggar. Now watch this, because I'm going to shout. Pastor, you may have to pick this up for me. I may not have time
go
to
ahead.
Get it all out.
Go
but
ahead.
He was
go
a,
ahead.
He was a beggar. And when you read that he was a beggar, Bartimaeus was a beggar, he begged people for stuff. He had a cup, and people were filling his cup up. And see, this is the problem with the church, because we're filling our cup up, but we're not messing with the condition that he had. People will fill your cup up, but won't mess with your condition.
Wow.
We want to take a shortcut. We always want to beg for stuff from everybody, but we don't want no one to mess with our condition. And we all got some conditions we need to deal with, but in order to deal with your condition, you got to have a vision. And see, Bartimaeus was a beggar. He had a cup, and people would put stuff in his cup. Now, when you're a beggar and people put stuff in your cup, that comes with a condition, because you have to act according to the people that put in your cup. If they fill your cup up, you had a good day. If you don't get that much, you ain't had a good day. The moral of the story I'm trying to say about people filling your cup in, I refuse to allow anyone to allow me to feel a certain way, whether you fill my cup up or not. because the Bible says that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Whether you like me, don't like me, whether you call, check on me, I'm going to rejoice because this is the day that the Lord has made. But Bonamans was a beggar, and according to him, he allowed people to fill his cup up, but not his condition. So therefore, when you allow people to fill your cup up, you give them power to place you. He was a beggar. He begged people for stuff, and people would walk right by him, put stuff in his cup. But if they didn't, would determine their day, his day. If he got a lot, he was happy. But his condition was still the same. It reminds me of the saints of God. We can come to church, we can hear the word of God, but we want something to tickle our cup. We want something so people can see that our cup is overflowing, but you still got conditions that don't line up with the word of God. You still got conditions that's not right, and you're around the people of God, but yet and still your conditions is the same. Something don't line up there because you have no vision. Because vision will make you take care of your condition. Okay. You're going to be quiet here.
Come on, deal with it, preacher. Deal with it.
The people had the power to place Bartimaeus. Another step I'm going to talk about is that when you allow people, when you allow the people to control you, they can place you. And when they can place you, they do things to you, like they make you not want to have a vision. Because if they're placing you, they're putting you in a place that's beneath them, and they're only giving you a certain amount of things that you can do and that you can't do. They put a limit on you. In verse 46, I'm going to take my time here. Verse 46. Is where I'm going to go at. I'm going to start verse 46. And it says, and it came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which was the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, the son of David, have mercy on me. 48, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called him. They called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his coat aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see.
Come on.
52.
Come on.
Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. First thing this man did in verse 46, if you see, it says that they called him blind Bartimaeus. And what we do in the church sometimes, they don't even respect this man to call him by his name. They call him by his condition. And a lot of times, we allow people to call you by your condition, like ex-alcoholic. Oh, he's a boy. And then they put that limit on you. Amen. But they're still trying to fill the cup, but not mess with the condition. And one of the first things
right.
you got to do when you need vision is you have to live above your label. You have to live above your label. They call this man blind, Bartimaeus. But when you live above your label, you're going to break the cycle because you are who God wants you to be. There is no label in God's house. Amen. If running for the Lord, you're running for the Lord. There is no ex anything in God's house. You could be an ex sinner,
amen, that was called to glory by salvation, but you have to live above the label that God, above the label that the people gave him. Number two, you got to use your current resource. What you mean by your current resources, brother? Verse 47, it says that he heard and he did. I'm not making it up. It's right there in verse 47. He heard and he said.
That's good.
He heard and he said.
Uh-huh.
I get happy right here in verse 47 because, see, he couldn't see Jesus. And because he couldn't see him, sometimes we put a limit on what we can and cannot see. But you got to use your other resources. So he used his ears and his mouth. He heard Jesus. And then he said he spoke to Jesus. Amen. And that's what we got to start to learn to do is use our current resources. You may not have everything you need to be the perfect Christian, but you got to use what you got. Let me see if I can break this down for y'all. Because when you look into vision, most people think vision will allow people to put in place you, all these other things they want to do in your life. But we got to understand that we have to use our resources. And with that, I'm being told I'm talking to you. I'm going to take a commercial break right now, and I'm going to come back to verse 47. We're going to come back in 60 seconds.
We'd like to thank everyone for joining us tonight for our thank and praise God for the word that is going forth thus far. We would like to invite you to be a blessing to the ministry. There is no certain amount that you have to give. We ask that you only give out of your heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. There are ways that you can give tonight. The first way that you can give is by Cash App, and the Cash App is $PTC877. Once again, that is $P as in praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, 877. Or you can give by credit or debit card or PayPal. You can call our church office at 678-760-6056. Once again, that's 678-760-6056. And we're going to back over to our elder who's teaching tonight a wonderful, awesome word, Elder Derek Oliver. Back to you, sir. Thank you.
All right. Before I get, you know, I get happy sometimes, I'll slow down and see if anyone has any comments they want to add so far. All right, we're gonna keep it moving.
Yeah, I can hear you. Oh, okay. I was gonna bring you some water and peppermint. You know, you was working hard and weren't gonna let nobody say nothing. I didn't know. So, I'm enjoying this. I like the point you brought out, concerning how people will constantly remind you of your past. They will constantly, you know, remind you on your predicament, on what you're in, on what you have done. But the church is supposed to be the place where you know, we should be able to, yes, we can acknowledge whatever the thing is, but we should be able to move past. Okay, we should be able to move past folks' past, because that's what Jesus did. He did that for all of us. He looked beyond all of our faults, and that's sometimes we are so entangled with other people's issues and what they have done or what they are doing, we forget to acknowledge our own issues and the things that we have done. And some of us, the things that we are currently doing that we know is against the will of God. So I like the point that you brought out about they reminded him that he was blind. No one had to tell him that he was blind. He knows better than anybody, you know, that he's blind. But that speaks volume of what the church does now in a lot of situations. We constantly remind people of their past. So that's one point that stuck out. Great job, bro.
All right. We're going to keep it moving. And like I said, you have to use your current resources. He knew that he liked the pastor stated. He knew that he was blind. So he had to use his ears and his mouth. And sometimes we allow, because we don't have, affect our vision. So we don't have this and we don't have that, or we can't see it. It doesn't mean that you can't get it, because sometimes you got to use what you got to get what you lost. And that's one of the things that the people of God don't understand. He equipped you to use what you got. You may not have a lot of money right now, but you got to use what you got. If you can't pay tithes, you got to pay with your time. You got to use what you got. And you can't make excuses for what you don't have, because he didn't have sight, but he had enough sense to use his ears and his mouth to ask for sight. He couldn't see sight. So when we use our current resources. And it just also goes to show right there in verse 47, the devil always been dumb and stupid, because the devil took his eyesight. If he wanted to mess with blind Mark, mess with him, he would have took his mouth. Because we know that the power of living comes through your mouth. Because if you speak it into existence, it will come into existence. And it says about faith. Faith comes through what? Hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. Once you hear it, you talk it through. He didn't have anything to do with the sight. But people put that about, you can't do this, you can't do that because you're blind. They put him on the side of the road. And then they will fill his cup up. But see, you know you got vision when you get resistance. You know something good getting ready to happen when people start to resist you. I was feeling good all day. All day I was feeling good. And then right before Bible study comes up, I get resistance. I got my car in the shop. They want to call and frustrate me. Son want to call, but all because they have, when I say they, I'm talking about outside of me, have no vision and wanted to get me all upset and discouraged. But I said the devil is a lie, because I'm not going to let no man or anybody ruin my day, because I didn't throw the cup away. And once you throw the cup away and you start getting your vision, one of the ways you know you got your vision is when resistance comes at you. Well, how do you say resistance? Well, if you saw every day they took this blind man and put him on the road as he begged every day. They did this all day, every day. They did it yesterday. They did it the day before. But when they found out Jesus was coming through, they want to shut him up, because Jesus was coming through and they didn't want him to bother Jesus. That sounds like church to me, all day, every day. When we get ready to do something for Christ, and then it's on display, we want to act like we all that. And we want to put everybody else back. But when you got to have vision and you're looking for vision, you're going to scream. And the thing about it is, he was screaming and he couldn't see. They could see. So a lot of times, when people don't know your circumstances, you're going to scream louder than the people who can see.
Wow.
We got to understand that this man was blind. We got to understand that the resistance was coming from the same people that was filling his cup. When the man that could heal him was coming, they're going to tell him to be quiet.
Right. Come on.
They're going to tell him who is blind on the side of the road to shut up and be quiet.
Now, I don't
mean to go in a lot of different places, and I don't mean to bounce from one subject to another subject, but the Lord put it on my heart. You know, we live in a crazy time right now. And if you don't have vision, you don't have vision. And I'm just going to share some things with you because I got asked to go protest somewhere. I'm not going to say where because I probably got some tears in my face. And I don't want them to say why I'm really saying I couldn't go protest. For all the violence that's going on and all the police brutality and all of that. But I'm going to say this right now. Right here in the Bible. All the protesting ain't going to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what has to happen, and when you get a vision, you're going to
understand
that. Is when the church can come together and go down to the police station in one accord and pray the prayer. Then, maybe. We can run that demonic,
spirit
out of the police department.
Mm.
But you don't see no churches nowhere trying to come together to pray.
Right.
All you want to see is protest.
Yeah.
So I'm saying we're the saints.
We're
the people who's called by God.
Because
what's going on in the world today has everything to do with vision. And they say, I heard a pastor say this, not our pastor, but I heard a pastor say, we've never seen anything like this before. And my spirit got troubled because I'm like, there's nothing new to the sun. And there's no name above the name of Jesus. We may not have seen it, but we got the name that can heal it. We got the name that can drive it out. We got the name. But what we want to do is we want to ask God for his stuff, but we don't want to serve God. And yeah, some of these preachers, we can talk it, we can teach it, we can preach it, but until you start walking it, you have no vision.
That's right.
I'm so tired of preachers calling me, asking me about when can they preach. We can't preach because everything's going on. Well, the devil is a lie. Because there's more than one place you can preach, and you got to start at home. Because I'm pretty sure everyone got some cousins and some aunties and some uncles that need to hear the word of God.
Yes, sir.
I'm being it all by myself, then. I'm the only one that got some cousins and some people that need to be preached to. But see, when you really want to get down to the real about what was going on, when you get the vision of God, nothing will stop you. And I'm almost done here. I'm almost done. Because the greatest weapon you got is your mouth.
Yes, sir.
It's the greatest weapon you got. And when you start using your mouth and start speaking this stuff into existence, you can defeat the enemy. You can defeat him. And it's just not just a great thing to defeat the enemy, but you can look at Bartimaeus as a good faith thing because of his faith. He didn't have the sight. He didn't see it. But the Bible says faith come by what? Hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. Sight was not the heart. But when you want to get the vision of God, you got to use what you got to get the vision. So if you ain't got sight, you got to use your ears and your mouth. And sometimes people got sight, the mouth, and the ears, but ain't doing nothing because it's closed, because we too busy with our cup out begging for everything. But once you get the sight, you ain't got to beg nothing from nobody because you can go get it yourself. This is what the Lord was showing everyone. If you ain't got to beg no more, throw that cup away. Take the sight, and when it gives you the sight, you can go get what you've been begging for.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I know it might be tight. I know people thinking this ain't your average everyday Bible, but I don't have time to be playing around with the word of God. I don't have time no more to
to be trying to teach when all we gonna do is teach and sit there and close the Bible and make it look good with that yellow highlighter we got. Unless you start with a vision. And tonight, anyone that's listening to this broadcast, you got to have a vision. In order to have the vision, you got to let go of some of the stuff that's been put in your cup. Because the stuff that's been put in your cup is hindering you from seeing what God wants you to do, just like it did the blind man. But also, not only the blind man, because some of us ain't dealing with sight. Some of us are like the disciples that walked right past the blind man and didn't want to heal. Here we go. I probably won't get in trouble. Go ahead.
Yeah, I like what I'm hearing through this also is eliminating every excuse. Okay, a lot of us have excuses, and you talked about this. You talked about preachers, different ones calling you and saying they can't preach or whatever the situation, all this is going on. What God will always do, he will eliminate every excuse, okay? He will eliminate every excuse. And once he eliminates the excuse, what's in you will come out. So if you are really interested in ministry, whether that's preaching or evangelizing, teaching, pastoring, whatever it is, and if God has called you to that, to giving you that gift or that calling or what have you, he's going to eliminate every excuse. So you would never be able to go back and tell God, well, I didn't do it because this or because that. This would have been the perfect, just me and my wife, me and my family, this would have been the perfect time for me to say, and not just me, but even all of us, the leaders that's on here tonight, for us to say, hey, well, we're going to take a break from preaching. We're going to take a break from teaching because since we can't come together as we normally do, let's just take a long sabbatical. Let's take a long break. And then when things settle back down, when a vaccine or whatever comes, then we'll come back together. But what we did, what we've done is since God opened up other doors and eliminated every excuse, we have continued to walk in the callings or in the vocation, in the profession that God has called us. So when God eliminates the excuse, it shows where your heart is. It shows where your motives are. Because this could have been the perfect time to say, hey, I'm taking a six-month sabbatical from preaching. I ain't counseling nobody. I ain't going to no funerals. I ain't doing no weddings. Don't call me. I ain't doing nothing. But because I know who I am and I know whose I am and I know the charge that God has placed on my life, not just as a pastor, but as a minister, as a husband, as a father, as a mentor, I understand that if I take a break, then I risk others that's waiting on me or that's counting on me to deliver what God has given me, I risk them aborting their future all because of me being arrogant. Remember, I've been preaching the last few messages was about David. It was about David and then about Judah and Tamar and about when the shoes are on the other feet. See, sometimes it's easy to criticize other folks when it's not you. But then when it's your turn, you want everybody to have mercy. You want everybody to be loving and merciful and kind to you. So watch those excuses. God will always, even if that means you need to start your own YouTube channel, if you need to start your own, I talked to a pastor the other day. He used to come visit us, and he, out the blue, he reached out to me. We had a conversation. And he said, man, he started doing a Zoom Bible study on Sunday mornings and on Tuesday night. And I told him, I said, man, right now we're no longer in the church building. I said, but we are reaching more souls now than we've ever reached. And he was so excited for us. In other words, we're not gonna use excuses to stop God's program, because God will always, and I'm through, God will always eliminate every excuse. Thank you.
And I'm sorry, excuse me, I can kind of piggyback on what Pastor was just saying, because in my prayer time I have received this word. The greatest pandemic is not this COVID. The greatest pandemic is the soul being lost to hell.
Yes.
That's the greatest pandemic.
We've been saying for a long time.
You've heard this maybe from your grandmother or your grandfather or grandparents, that the Bible talks about Jesus coming back one day and what would happen before that. So this COVID-19 shouldn't catch us by surprise. But the greatest pandemic is those whose souls will be lost to hell, because we have the vaccine, which is Jesus Christ, and we open our mouth to share with others. You don't need a platform to share Jesus. You can share him in the grocery store. You can share him at the restaurant. You can share him in the drive-thru. You don't need a platform to share Jesus. All you need is to open up your mouth and share the love of Christ with others. That is your platform. And in my prayer time, I was like, God, what has happened? We have gotten so distracted.
Yeah.
The people, the ministers, the people in the church, the evangelists, the deacons, we've gotten so distracted by what's going on in the world when our eyesight was supposed to be on the world. Our eyesight is supposed to be God. And we got too distracted. So there needs to be some repentance to happen, that we need to repent before God and ask him to forgive us of that distraction, because we're walking around the vaccine, which is Jesus, and we won't even open up our mouths to share with others so that they won't be lost to that pandemic, which is pain.
Wow.
I thank you, Elder, for this word on tonight. You know, we have got to be mindful. I thank God for that. I'll turn it back over to you.
Oh, I'm thankful for the comments, and yeah, that was really a key point. And like I said, I get excited sometimes because I could preach any one of these verses and just deal with one verse at a time. But I'm at the point now in life where we as individuals, and like the Pat, making excuses. See, when you talk about vision. A lot of people say this, well, I'm following Praise Tabernacle vision. Praise Tabernacle vision. That's what we're going to do.
Uh-huh.
And you ain't got a vision for yourself, but now you want to follow Praise Tabernacle. Then some of us are saying, well, we're going to follow Bishop's vision.
Wow.
As soon as you get mad with Bishop, he don't call you back, you all messed up. Then we want to find vision for any and everybody, but we don't want to have our own vision. And that's the mistake that we make. And religion has taught us, I'm sorry to have to go to religion, has taught us to follow the church. Well, we see the condition the church in now. We see the condition the church in. So that's the first excuse. That's why there's no power in the church. That's why the church, ain't no one coming to the church right now. Because there's no vision. And I'm not talking about, I'm talking about individual vision. Because now, for the preachers, you got to go do something if you was called by God. You're just going to sit there and wait on somebody else. And God did not call you to wait on nobody when he's giving you the equipment, what you need to do, what you got to do.
Yes, sir.
And, I don't mean to seem like I'm upset, because I'm not. I'm excited about the word, but we sit down and we talk these scriptures, but we don't want to walk the walk. We can talk the talk, but now it's time to walk the walk. We need to be ministering all over the place. Well, COVID, we can't go here. We can't go there. Well, just like they said, you can Zoom, you can FaceTime. There's so many technology ways you can do what you got to do. We just don't want to do it because we were lazy inside the four walls. And just like that man could have been here. He could have been here. But they waited, and Jesus passed the man up. I saw them people saw him. The disciples saw him. Did no one say, and tap Jesus, there's this man over here who needs help.
Yeah.
Well, we practicing 6 feet apart, so we're going to have to keep him over there and kind of quiet it down. And this is what's going on in the church. And then people get mad at me because I want to tell the truth about what's going on in the church. This man was blind, but he had enough sense. When Jesus asked the question, what did you want? He didn't say, I wanted a whole bunch of money. He didn't say, I needed this and I needed that. He said, I want this. Verse 52, and then I'm okay. I think I'm going to be done after verse 52. And I just want to read verse 52 because this is the shout part right here.
All right.
Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Look what Jesus tells him. He said, go your way. He got his sight, but he followed Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm going to let that meditate for a minute. Jesus said, go your way. So when he got his sight and he was able to see, he saw the way he was going was wrong. So that's why he decided to follow Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. We get something from Jesus, we want to go our way. We want to do it the way we want to do it. And so Jesus gives us that choice. He ain't going to beg you to follow him. He said, go your way. The man had enough sense to get healed and said, I'm going to follow Jesus. So my question is, if you got the vision, you going to follow Jesus. You will be without it.
Yeah. That's right. Come on,
I'm
preacher.
Done.
Come on.
I'm done.
Come on,
that's
preacher.
That's it right there in verse 52. Who are you following? Who are you looking at? Or are you blind? If you're blind, I didn't give you a couple points on how to get your sight back. First thing you got to do, you got to stop putting that cup away and throw it away and stop taking your hand out from everyone that want to give your hand out. That means, stop calling everyone, asking everyone for advice. Stop. Because it ain't changing your condition. You in the same condition you've been in before COVID came out. And when COVID before came, you weren't going visiting the sick. You weren't going talking to the homeless. You weren't doing none of that. But now you got an excuse. And everyone want to say, well, you're doing all right. Just read the word. Keep the word. No, put some action behind the word that you read. Do something.
That's right.
I told them earlier I wasn't going to be preaching all day. I wasn't going to keep you because everybody got to go to work tomorrow. And I wanted to let people know. If you got a vision and you following Christ, you will be without excuse. COVID-19 will not be defeating you. I'm going to tell you like this, and I'm blessed. I'm not apologizing for being on cloud nine right now. I'm not going to apologize because the Lord is blessing me right now. I'm not going to apologize because I'm healthy, even though I overcame cancer, even though I can't see out of my left eye, even though I can make excuses for myself, but yet still, I'm going to give God the glory and give him the praise. And if I ain't got nowhere else to preach, I can preach inside my house. I got some relatives that need to hear some Jesus. I got some friends that need to hear some Jesus. I'm not going to be without excuse because he called me to preach. Go preach the gospel, whoever will hear. And then if they don't want to hear it, shake the dust off your feet and keep it moving. But I'm tired of hearing excuses why the church can't do this and why the church can't do that. Well, I'm just waiting on the church. Well, you need to have a vision for yourself. And get out of these religious religious ways about that ain't doing nothing for you because your character is still messed up. When you get the vision, you're going to work on your character. You're going to go where God wants you to go. you're going to do what God wants you to do. When you get vision and you can see for yourself, Jesus told him, go your way. And when he looked up and saw the way that he was going, he said, that's not the right way to go. I'm going to follow Jesus who healed him. Immediately.
Come on, Doc.
So tonight, immediately, you need to change your vision, change your surroundings, and follow Jesus. And get your own vision and do what God is telling you to do. And take them yellow marks that you got in your Bible and put it to use and do something. I'm done, Pastor. Go ahead.
You got some more time, Doc. Come on, keep working. Keep working.
That's it. That's it. I'm just saying, and for those that's out there, I just want to say this. Those that are out there that are listening to me that may have problems with their vision, I'm going to say this to you right now, because you may not know who Christ is. And the first thing you got to do is you got to accept him.
That's right.
And once you accept him, believe in your heart that he died on the cross and he got up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Right. And if you can do that, you got some vision. You got more vision than people that have been in church 20, 30 years. All
right.
You got to do is confess your fault and believe in Jesus. And then you start to see where you need to go. But for whatever you do tonight, take that cup and throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
So that cup ain't going to change your condition. I don't know what he did with that cup after he got his life. You don't hear nothing about a cup.
You don't hear nothing about a cup.
Mm-hmm. And we as Christians,
and
saints of God, always want someone to give us
something. Uh-huh.
Brother asked me today, you got a word for me? I said, you got a word for me? I got a word, but I can't give all my words. I need it for me. I'm done, Pastor. Go ahead. I'm done.
Oh, man. I tell you what. You done got it started. You done got the party started, man. This is. I tell you what. I don't know who we done named John the Baptist, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Or we might have to give you either John the Baptist or Paul or somebody. Throw your cup
like
away.
Paul.
I mean, you sound like Paul. You want to make him the apostle? That was great. Elder Taylor, you got any, before we dismiss, you got any final comments from that fiery teaching on tonight? That's some great teaching. Elder Taylor, you got anything?
Yeah, one thing that came to mind with me when he was speaking, and it was a great word, and everything he was saying was very true about the state that the church is in, and using so many excuses not to do what God has called us to do. And, you know, he's talking about, Elder Oliver, he's talking about vision. And the scripture that came to mind was, without vision, the people perish. And we got to have vision. And one thing about blind Bartimaeus is that, you know, he wanted to see. But can you imagine the first thing he saw when he could see? And that was the face of Jesus Christ. The one that allowed him to have vision. And that's what we got to do. We got to seek the face of Jesus Christ in this day and age. You know, we should always be wanting to seek the face, but especially now, what's going on in the world today. So, That kind of came to my mind, Brother Oliver, as he was going forward. Now, you know, I thought you was getting mad there for a minute, you know, because he's acting like Paul. That's why I said Paul is the apostle that you kind of remind me of tonight. But great word, good word, provocative word, insightful word. So it's just, we just got to come together as a body of Christ, as individual believers as well, that You know, we got to have the vision that God has called us to do what we're supposed to do. And under any and all circumstances, you know, we can't let situations and circumstances get us off course.
Right.
Great word, brother. I love you, man. I appreciate your spoken words.
All right. That. Thank you. Thank you, Ella Taylor. I tell you, the Apostle Paul. He walked heavy tonight. Evangelist Stanton. I think you're still on. Did you have any final words for tonight?
Yes, sir. One thing I like about that verse 52, where it says, "And follow Jesus in the way." After he received his sight, he followed Jesus in the way. That's a reminder to us to follow Jesus in the way. When we don't want to love, what did Jesus do? Still love unconditionally. When we don't want to forgive, follow Jesus in the way and forgive. Follow Jesus. Whatever your situation is, look to see how Jesus handled it. And follow Jesus in the way. That's all I have to say.
Great. Follow Jesus in the way. All right, Elder Bluette, I think I heard you coming and going. Elder Bluette, you still on tonight? Did you have any final words? Was Elder Bluette on tonight?
Yeah. Hold on.
Okay, go ahead, Elder. Did you have any final words for tonight?
Yeah, we can. I think his name is going to be John the Baptist. John the Baptist. So, great teaching, great philosophy, life. What works, what doesn't work, the things against us we can actually use for our advantage. Our past, I love when people remind me of my past because it compels me to stay where I am. So but great teaching, Elder Oliver. Great.
All right.
Stay with it, man. You're in there.
Fire.
It's fiery. Appreciate you.
Yeah. I tell you what, hey, I don't know. I heard my baby's mama. I heard her on. Baby, are you still on here? Or are you cooking them lobsters, them crab legs? Are you still on tonight?
Yes, honey, I'm still on. I'm actually eating my crab legs. I'm still cooking them. But speaking of not cooking them, but yes, great word on tonight, Elder Oliver. I mean, continue to cry loud and spare not. Spare not. I know you were saying that you may sound aggressive, but to God be the glory, and we give him thanks in everything. So thank you tonight for that dynamic word. God bless you.
All right. Okay. Listen, praise Tabernacle. Y'all already know how we get down. I say it over the floor and I say it over the radio. We ain't no punks. So this is how we do it. This is how we do it. Elder Oliver, I tell you what, man, you just fit, not that you're trying to fit in or nothing like that. But you a carbon copy of us, man. And I love it. I'm sitting here giggling. I'm on the way home from baseball practice, but I've been laughing and giggling and sniggling the whole time because you spoke as one that has authority. You spoke tonight as one that has authority, and I think that's one of the reasons why me and you, how God had put us together, and along with Elder Taylor and Evangelist Stanton and Elder Bluette and my wife and your wife and just – how we've all Deacon Stanton, just different ones have, you know, you seem like you've been with us from day one. It just seems like you've been with us. So we're glad that others rejected you. Others may not allow you to preach in their pulpit and things like that. But we are so grateful that the rejection from them just put you right in line with us, and we just thank God because we're not concerned about no title over here. I'm Omar. My mama named me Omar, so if you call me Bishop, fine. If not, on my job they don't call me Bishop. My boss called me Omar, and so I know who I am. So man, we appreciate what you've done on tonight, and I just can't wait to continue to hear the many more Bible studies and preaching that you're going to be doing for God's people. So, listen,
hey, Pastor,
I got the same.
I don't want to interrupt. I got one more thing to say to you, Pastor. One more thing to say before I get in trouble. But I want to acknowledge tonight, praise Tabernacle, the church, the leadership. I just want to say from my bottom of my heart, I thank y'all, and I truly love y'all. Because since I've been on this journey with y'all, my family has grown tremendously in a short amount of time. And people see that. And yesterday, I got a call. Me and my wife got a call to go to Chicago to do a couple fellowship.
Wow.
Now, we declined to go. I'm not going to Chicago in November. But the fact, because we're on the radio.
Yeah.
The fact that they asked us, and the fact that I've been dealing with people who say we're not qualified.
Wow.
And since we've been at Praise Tabernacle, from Elder Taylor to Deacon Stanton to the bishops to the First Lady, to Evangelist Stanton, it has been nothing but a blessing. And I know I sound aggressive, but one of the things, I'm like a baby bear. I'm not going to hurt nobody. But when it comes to the Word of God, I go to a level, and when I get to that level, I'm not going to apologize. But
that's right.
I just give it the way God gives it to me, and then I get out the way, and now I'm gonna go back and celebrate with my lovely wife, because God is doing awesome things, and we're not gonna be apologetic about what God is doing,
right?
Even though we're in COVID, we're not gonna make no excuse. As for me and my house, we're gonna serve the Lord, and that's what we're gonna do. I'm going to preach until I can't preach no more. He tried to take my voice last week, but that's okay because I'm going to keep on preaching even harder now. But I thank everyone, and Bishop, really, your leadership, the way you got things going. I talk about you all the time, just so you know. I'm quite sure they're going to be calling you talking about me in a minute. But, you know, God got the vision on where he wants us to go. And like we're reaching thousands and thousands of people on this radio platform, I'm going to open it up again. Anybody that want to come preach on any day of the week, all you got to do is call my brother Dick. We'll make it happen.
That's right.
So you ain't got no excuse. And we're talking about thousands of people.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
So if they call me and my wife to come to Chicago, you know, I'm just saying that. I just wanted to put that out there because I see some people. I ain't going to say nothing, but I see some people listening. They said that my engineer is coming in my ear. I just wanted to put that out there. We got an invite, but we turned it down.
Yeah. Well, man, we love you. I got the members of Praise Tabernacle texting now, man. We love you, bro. We love you, and we wouldn't want you to change for nothing in the world. We wouldn't want you to change for nothing in the world. You bring another slice of the pie. You and your precious wife, Elder Bluette, and him and his wife. They bring us that South Central LA flavor. Elder Taylor, Taylor's from Ohio too. Him and his wife, they bring us that two-piece flavor. So Evangelist Stanton and Deacon Stanton is hails from Tennessee, you know. So we all bring out different flavor. Of course, y'all know I'm a hood. I'm from the hood, you know. Got a little hood in me, but me and my precious wife. But we love you, man. You are a somebody texting me now saying they got the Midwest flavor. So we just appreciate you, man, and we thank God. We thank God for you. Great job on tonight. We're going to do our final prayer and benediction. And listen, y'all tune in Friday night. Be on the lookout, all our listeners and viewers, our Facebook viewers that may be on tonight. We're going to be making a change to our Friday night service. I spoke to Elder Oliver earlier today. We're going to probably for the fall season, me and my family, we do so much in the community. Elder Taylor, another one, we do so much in the community. And Friday nights during the fall season, we're normally either with, I got two sons that play baseball, just now leaving baseball practice, and I also serve as our high school chaplain here at Central Gwinnett High School. I serve as the chaplain for the football team. So every Friday night, we're generally ministering and witnessing and praying with the coaches and with the teams on the sideline. And being that they're going to pretty much be kicking the season back off this coming Friday, what we're planning to do beginning next week, we'll be on this Friday, but beginning next week, if the Lord say the same, we're going to probably be changing our Friday night service to Thursday night. So just be on the lookout. We're going to get a blast. We're going to get a Facebook blast. Ella Oliver will be letting everyone know on Chaos Blog Talk Radio to just change it from Friday night at 7 o'clock. We're going to move it to Thursday night at 7 o'clock. And this will probably just be, as we stated, for the fall months until, you know, our time maybe open back up. But we did not want to just not do it at all. So we got a great thing coming, and once again, God has eliminated every excuse. So we're just changing it. We'll be changing it from Friday night to Thursday night, if the Lord say the same, beginning next week. But meet us back Friday night. Meet us back here, Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries. And as Elder Oliver told us on tonight, if you can't find nowhere else to preach, if you can't find nowhere else to teach, do it in your home. We should start at home in the first place. Charity starts at home, spreads abroad. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you once more and again. We appreciate you. We thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for eliminating every excuse. While others told us to be quiet, we thank you for those that had the sense to cry out to the only one that was able to make a change in their life. And God, we pray now for the Oliver family. We pray that you continue to strengthen Elder Oliver and his wife, Lady Kisa Oliver, as they continue to minister the gospel, as they continue to teach and preach your word under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I pray, God, that every mountain be moved in their life and that they continue to strive and continue to let the Holy Ghost lead and guide them. I pray for their family, for their children, and for their grandchildren. And, God, all our leadership, all the members of Praise Tabernacle, all our Chaos Blog Talk Radio listeners, I pray that you will continue to strengthen them on tonight in Jesus' name. And as always, before we leave this place but never his presence, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20 tells us to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. God bless you.